Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Fake news is now being used by criminals for financial and commercial gain. We'll tell you how they're doing it. Tesla has launched an electric transport truck that it guarantees won't break down for a million miles. Drone maker DJI made a big security mistake, and in trying to cover it up, they're going after the guy who reported it through their bug bounty program. And a severely dangerous exploit on Intel's CPUs has users scrambling to update their firmwares. We'll tell you what you need to do and why it's so serious for both Windows and Linux users. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. According to new research, criminals are exploiting fake news for commercial gain. Fake news is widely assumed to be political or ideological propaganda or even outright lies published to sway public opinion. But new research conducted by threat intelligence firm Digital Shadows and released on Thursday suggested that fake news generation services are now aimed at causing financial and reputation damage for companies through misinformation campaigns. So how are they using this to make money? It's called pump and dump scan. These schemers are aggressively promoting penny stocks to inflate their prices before they inevitably crash and burn. The scammers buy low, then promote their stock using fake news, social engineering tactics, and media bots, enabling them to sell high. Then they flee with their loot and little regard for other investors. Digital Shadows also identified more than 10 services that allow users to download software that controls the activities of social media bots. The tools work by controlling large numbers of bots to post on specific types of forums on different topics. To trick people into believing their fake news sites, the fraudsters have also resorted to spoofing legitimate sites. By altering characters on a registered domain, such as replacing the letter M with an RN and using cloning services, they're able to create convincing fake news sites. Digital Shadow advises that you can protect yourself by monitoring social media for brand mentions and seek to detect the bots using clues such as the age of the account, the content being posted, and the number of friends or followers.
And we tend to use what's trending as... That's where we get a lot of our news, right?
Exactly. You know what? This spoke to me a little bit because Dave's really been getting a little bit more into the stock market. So when interested in a stock, he does a lot of research on it using
Online, the internet, right?
So
what are people talking about? Well, if there's 10,000 bots all talking about it.
Is it? Yeah, all of a sudden the interest grows, the stock price goes up.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
And he sees it going up.
Right. And, you know... To be honest with you, I kind of give a lot of credit probably to like the more savvy people. I feel like you could probably tell, I mean, RN does look like M.
Sure,
but
yeah, try it. Type it on your computer. It's amazing.
I feel like there are some red flags that probably you would be able to tell if you were savvy. But the elderly that aren't so into it, and now all of a sudden they're not getting their news from any other source except for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that whole, like, everything you read on the internet is true thing that happens with people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether or not it's going to end up being, like, a lesson that they're going to have to learn in schools and stuff. Like, it's going to be maybe part of... You know how you cite your sources when you're writing an essay? now all of a sudden you're going to probably have to take that extra level because you're going to have to cite your source and proof.
Yeah, and we do this here on the show, and other newscasters do this if they're, you know, if they care about the legitimacy of stories, is we look for multiple instances of the story, of the news, of the topic. So if I'm looking at a stock and I see that it's going up, see, this is a tough thing, though. What is driving the stock up?
Mm-hmm.
So if news and social engineering tactics are what's driving the stock up, then yes, the stock is going up. So every site is going to say the stock is going up. But what's causing it? That's a really difficult thing. Now, mm-hmm. with something like a spoofed website that is faking news and tricking people into reading spoofed information, well, I think there are a couple of things that we can do. First of all, this guy over here, ESET, they have anti-malware that will help to, it's called anti-phishing, which will help to protect you from websites that are tricking you into going to fake websites, those kinds of things. So it helps. But also knowing the difference between the address bar and the search on your computer. That's a big deal because, and I see this all the time in our industry, and it breaks my heart every time that I see someone search for Google,
right?
Or search for my company's website address. Don't do that. If you know you're going to Microsoft.com or BBC.co.uk, don't search for it. Put it in the address bar. That is the address. When you have someone's phone number, mm-hmm. you don't call someone else and say, hi, I've got this phone number. Can you put me through to Joe at 555-5555?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. So why are we searching for Microsoft.com? Why are we searching for the news sites or our banking sites?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get tricked because we're entering into a search engine which gives us results and sometimes tens of thousands of results for those things. And so if somebody happened to get up at the top of the list for bbc.co.uk by some miracle of SEO, guess what? You're going to click on it if that's the way that you surf the internet. So when you know the address, go to the address in the address bar. Don't use your search.
Very good point.
Those are a couple of little tactics. But recognizing the signs, too, like knowing that kerning can cause RN to look like M.
Right.
Knowing that.
Yeah, you have to know what the red flags really are. And mm-hmm. a big one in social media is really like the friends and followers of the actual person posting.
True, yeah. Right? If you see something happening on social media that's trending and it's coming from all of these accounts and, you know, thousands of people are talking about it, view the accounts. Look mm-hmm. at the accounts and say, okay, who follows this person? Who does this person follow? And you can usually spot fake bot accounts because mm-hmm. they use weird names. All the girls look like supermodels and they're wearing bikinis. You know, there's these kinds of signs.
That's
that
true.
It is. Bots, because they grab photos from various websites in order to create photos for their bots.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see those kinds of things and, you know, they're red flags. And if you see, you just got to kind of watch for it. Ask somebody who's really savvy.
That's
would be
right.
a great way.
Yeah, you know? There's no shame in asking, really.
Absolutely not. Sometimes I have phone calls that say, I know this is a stupid question. I'm so sorry to trouble you. And I appreciate that. I love it when a customer says that. But I have this pop up on my computer and it says, do this. It says, call Microsoft. Here's the number.
Mm-hmm.
Do I call? No, that's actually an ad that's coming in through an infected advertisement. So close that and then you'll be safe.
Right.
Thank
you, Robbie.
Ask.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Tesla has launched an electric transport truck it guarantees won't break down for a million miles. Elon Musk has launched the Tesla Semi, complete with a guarantee that it will not break down for 1 million miles of driving. Speaking at a launch event in Los Angeles, Musk said that the truck will be 20% cheaper to operate than a diesel truck, in part because it will be faster. The truck has a drag coefficient of 0.36. That's crazy. That's less than some supercars. The bullet-like design means that it can go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 20 seconds while hauling a full 80,000-pound load.
Ho, ho!
The truck can reach this speed up hills with a 5% gradient, which Elon Musk says will leave diesels eating dust. Range is 500 mile. The range is 500 miles on a charge with a full load traveling at 60 miles per hour. This is starting to sound like a word problem. For longer trips, Tesla will install mega chargers that Musk said will add 400 miles of range with just a 30-minute charge. What's more, the recharge facilities will be solar-powered and Tesla will guarantee the price of recharges. The truck will have one engine on each of its four wheels, a design Musk said will prevent jackknifing, as automation ensures each wheel does what it takes to avoid such accidents. Braking energy will be recaptured to charge the batteries. Autopilot will be built in and enabled in all trucks. Musk said that in doing so, it will ensure that the vehicles always stay within their lanes. If a driver is incapacitated, the truck will park itself and call for assistance. The truck can also run in a convoy where one or several semi-trucks will be able to autonomously follow a lead semi. Such convoys, Musk said, will deliver freight at a lower cost than rail transport. Musk says the trucks will go on sale in the year 2019, but declined to name a price and instead referred to the cost of ownership metrics.
In other words, very expensive.
Very expensive. But wow, we'll save you a bundle of money and
Keep you safe.
It will call for help if the driver is incapacitated. It sounds like you probably don't even need a driver probably at some point.
I mean, the convoy thing. I think about the Freightliner innovation truck as an example where the convoy thing, it's so aerodynamic. It's so, they're so close together because of the autonomous driving that it's like a train. And it basically, you know that if you get into the wind tunnel of a transport truck, it's going to pull you along and you can just kind of coast. So imagine if you've got a convoy of trucks that are driving that close together, and these trucks are incredibly aerodynamic.
Right.
As far as safety goes, one of the things that wasn't mentioned in the story that I had seen in the video is that it has armored glass as well. So the windshield is armored.
Oh,
that is fantastic. So
yes.
What trucker wouldn't want this?
Right. And even having something that's, even if a trucker needed to be in the truck, I work at a chiropractic clinic, right? And because of that, I see people with various numbers of injuries and ailments, especially work-related.
Repetitive stress injuries.
Prolonged postures.
Yeah.
Truck drivers have incredibly, by and large, kind of as a rule, incredibly damaged spines. And it's because they have been sitting for long periods of time with minimal breaks. Wear and tear on their body is crazy. This
truck, you can stand up.
Yeah.
There's standing room.
This would be a game changer. You'd become less, confined to the wheel, right? And more just kind of the overseer,
I suppose.
Say, of the truck.
I'm not sure how autonomous it's going to be out of the box, but I know that it's going to have the ability to stay in the lane. Mm-hmm. So, if you're driving and, hands are off the wheel and it's going to stay in the lane, it's going to have collision avoidance and automatic stopping to avoid collisions, things like that you would expect from Tesla. And, that's just phase one, right?
The first thing that popped through my head when I read this news story was a couple weeks ago on a highway really close to here, we had a massive accident.
What was the cause, Sasha?
It was trucks. It was trucks. And a couple of the trucks were carrying gas.
Gas.
And so when they collided, it caused a...
Kaboom.
It was... epic. Not great. It was...
Catastrophic.
It was
I just inject one word at a time.
Into the sky.
Yeah.
It was insanely dangerous. People could have been completely wiped out. Luckily, not as many people died as you would have thought.
Yeah, it was miraculous how few actually died, considering.
Right. But then it didn't have to happen at all. If... these trucks were already on the road.
Well, I think as a, and if you're a trucker, you can even comment below, let us know what you think. But I would imagine as a trucker, like Sasha said, you're working long hours, you're not moving a lot. And if I'm driving late at night for long hours in my van, my mind starts to wander and then I snap out of it and realize, oh, I better pay attention. How much more so if you're hauling a load?
Right.
And somebody all of a sudden stops in front of you. Right. Well, this truck will stop. So we know about autonomous vehicles, and that's great. We know that that's coming. We know that it's here, and it's available. What Tesla's doing differently now is it doesn't need gas.
Right.
And it will do 500 miles on a single charge. Like, you're talking a two-way transaction of hauling a load. And 0 to 60 in 5 seconds.
That is
That's insane.
Fast.
That's with a full load, folks. So you think about a diesel truck and trying to get onto the highway and trying to merge into busy traffic, and that's a danger right there. You try to get onto a highway in Toronto, and you take 20 seconds to get up to speed, or sometimes even longer if you've got a full load. This does away with that problem.
I absolutely am blown away at how fast this is progressing. 2019, right? Like, that's tomorrow.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, and kind of out of the blue, it feels like. I know they've been talking about it, and they're a little delayed in announcing it, but it's certainly going to be a game changer, I think. So,
yeah.
And we're starting to see the Tesla gas stations popping up all around Barrie as well.
That's true. It actually, it makes me want one very badly.
Well, now you can start to charge it, right?
Right.
And to know that it's solar powered and all this kind of stuff and guaranteed pricing to charge, that's kind of cool.
Well, and the more that happens, the less tanker trucks full of gas are going to be on the highways causing accidents.
Yeah.
Because nobody will need gas anymore. Here's hoping.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yes. Drone maker DJI has accused a cybersecurity researcher of hacking its servers. Kevin Finisterre claims that he accessed confidential customer data after finding a private key publicly posted on code sharing site GitHub. He approached the firm, which offers a bug bounty reward of up to $30,000 for security weaknesses that are discovered in its systems. DJI said that the server access was unauthorized. The data Mr. Finisterre was able to see included unencrypted flight logs, passports, driver's licenses, and identification cards, he said. Despite initially offering him the money, DJI has now, in a statement, accused Mr. Finisterre of refusing to agree to the terms of its bug bounty program, which are designed to protect confidential data and allow time for analysis and resolution of a vulnerability before it is publicly disclosed. Mr. Finisterre, an independent security researcher, said DJI tried to make him sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh.
He also published an email from DJI telling him that security issues with servers were included in the bug bounty program. Cybersecurity expert Professor Alan Woodward from Surrey University said DJI's actions were outrageous. The public has a right to know when there's a security problem.
That's how a bug bounty program works, my friends.
Yeah. Everybody does deserve to know when that there is a problem, but not at the expense of people's safety if a fix isn't in place.
One, they published a private key on GitHub. That's a publicly available website where anyone can view the code. So this guy finds that, tests it to see, hey, does it actually, is this what I think it is? It is. Oh my goodness, I'd better report this to the bug bounty program. Hey guys, just so you know, you published this private key, which you need to change immediately. I was able to, using this key, access your server and get this data. That's the right methodology of a bug bounty program. He didn't go out and blast the world and say, hey, guys, I got all these credit card numbers and driver's license numbers. Hey, do you want them? I'll sell them to you for $20,000. No, that's not how a bug bounty program works. That's when you would sue a guy. This guy did it right.
Right.
So what right do they have to come out and say, okay, we're gonna give you a hard time? Now, they wanted a non-disclosure. So in other words, they're trying to cover it up.
Right.
Okay. So they suspect that somebody else has also gained access to it and probably stolen that information for sale. That's a theory. But if one guy was able to do it and, you know, was the first guy the only guy?
And the real fear is if they were actually trying to cover it up, which it does seem like they were doing.
That's the thing.
Right? Then there are nameless number of real victims that could have been exposed in this, and they would have never owned up to it, right? It's not fair or good of a big company like that to do something.
I think DJI, there's this problem with them right now in that they're losing a lot of trust. This is not the time to mess around with people's trust. When the government has said we're pulling all DJI products from our military because it because we have reason to suspect that it has tools that are distributing private information about the flight plans.
Well, if they have reason to suspect it, maybe it's because they were on GitHub.
Maybe they were right. Yes. Maybe they found it on GitHub and were able to access that data. Who knows?
Right.
But not a good time to cover things up and try to wash them under the bridge. But this guy is saying, you know, he's publicly said, you know, this is what they've done. We've got emails to prove that this is what DJI is trying to do. They're trying to cover up this thing that I found. That's not how the bug bounty program works. They need to pay up.
Kudos to that guy for standing up and not actually just being swept away and signing the non-disclosure. And,
oh, man.
Right? It could have gone the other way. Mm-hmm. And then we would not be talking about it, which is worse than talking about it. Yeah. So. Intel admitted Monday that its management engine, server platform services, and trusted execution engine, ME, SPS, and TXE, respectively, are vulnerable to multiple worrying security flaws based on the findings of external security experts. The firmware-level bugs allow logged-in administrators and malicious or hijacked high-privilege processes to run code beneath the operating system to either spy or meddle with the computer completely out of sight of other users and admins. Meanwhile, logged-in users or malicious or commandeered applications can leverage the security weaknesses to extract confidential and protected information from the computer's memory. This potentially gives miscreants sensitive data, such as passwords or cryptographic keys, to kick off other attacks. On servers and other shared machines, this is especially bad news. In short, a huge number of Intel CPUs are secretly running code that is buggy and exploitable by attackers and malware to fully and silently compromise computers. Intel's management engine, at the heart of today's disclosure, is a computer within your computer. It is Chipzilla's much-maligned coprocessor at the center of its vPro suite of features, and it is present in various chip families. Not only does this include server Xeon processors, but also 6th, 7th, and 8th generation Intel Core processors, Apollo Lake, and some Celeron processors. The management engine is a barely documented black box. It has its own CPU and its own operating system. Recently, an x86 Quark Core and MinX that has complete control over the machine. And it functions below and out of sight of the installed operating system and any hypervisors or antivirus tools present. It is designed to allow network administrators to remotely or locally log into a server or workstation and fix up any errors, reinstall the OS, take over the desktop, and so on, which is handy if the box is so messed up that it can't even boot properly. The ME runs closed source remote administration software to do this, and this code contains bugs which allow hackers to wield incredible power over a machine. The ME can be potentially abused to install rootkits and other forms of spyware that silently snoop on users, steal information, or tamper with files. According to Intel, it allows an attacker to impersonate the ME, SPS, or TXE mechanisms, thereby invalidating local security features. Intel advises Microsoft and Linux users to download and run the Intel SA00086 detection tool to determine whether their systems are vulnerable to the above bugs. If you are at risk, you must obtain and install firmware updates from your computer's manufacturer if and when they become available.
Yikes. A great tool if you are a system administrator and you need to access a server that is not booting, that's not working.
Right.
And it's remote. We co-locate servers all the time. But scary fact is, you think about all the web servers that are running Linux or whatever, and Linux is safe. It's got CSF, LFD, firewall on there, and IP tables, and it's all protected in Fort Knox. But guess what? This bug doesn't care if you have a firewall.
Yeah.
It doesn't care if your operating system is up to date, because it's another operating system running in the background of your computer that you don't even know is there. It has its own TCP/IP stack. mounted on the network interface controller. So that means that even if you turn off networking in the OS on your computer, this back door can still access the network, can still access the internet, can still be accessed through that connection. How many devices are out there running Xeon processors on an internet connection directly on the internet to run web servers?
Right.
That's a scary thought.
Now, how does this happen? Like, how is this allowed? How can they be releasing these to the public?
Well, it's a feature, if you will, an lightly documented feature. It's one that, you know, not everybody knows about and not everybody uses. But so as a feature, that's fantastic. I mean, Dell servers have similar kind of, like, you think about Drax and the ability to connect into servers, reboot them, access the BIOS, and change things remotely through a connection to a subsystem chip. That's kind of like that built into the processor. So it's great from an administration standpoint. It's great for Intel to be able to fix servers and things like that. You think about supercomputers, and they need to be able to fix those things without having to physically go to them and patch them and anything else. But now, to find out that it's so readily exploitable, which has been a fear of the Electronic Freedom Foundation for a long time. And it's true.
I find it unsettling. I don't hear a lot in the news about something that affects Linux users. And when I do, it kind of makes me feel a bit, you know.
Well, and we mention Linux because it has nothing to do with the operating system installed in the computer. So understand, this is not a Linux problem. This is not a Windows problem. This is a subsystem, a coprocessor chip running an operating system, Minix, on your system at the same time that you don't even know is actually running, but it is. So you want to definitely use that tool that Intel is providing. We'll put a link below for you. If you're watching this on cable TV or somewhere else where you don't have access to those links, here it is there. But you can also go to our website, category5.tv, and you'll find that by searching up for episode number 531.
That's right. Make sure that you do that and just stay safe. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.